We are grateful for all these wonderful songs. And we are in great expectation that soon we will sing with the Lord. There, no voice will be hoarse anymore. Nobody needs to take care anymore. Everything will be well forever. I'm grateful to God that most of you remained, and only after this meeting will depart. May God bless you for it richly. You all know that at the year end, we will be here together. And I would like to invite you already today. Should the Lord have not returned until then you come. Yes? This is a nice contract. If the Lord did not come until then you come. And we will have fellowship with Him and with one another. I have the impression that it gets more deep and more heartfelt, that we understand the Lord and one another better. Sometimes you have to have the goodwill to do it, and sometimes also to be on standby. Most switch off, and then they listen and listen and hear nothing, because they switched off. One has to sometimes pull out the antenna, taking care that the connection is there. One has to be willing to hear, and then the station is heard nicely. We live in a time where automatic exists. One pushes a button and automatically one can always have the right station. May God give it to us spiritually, that we are tuned in with Him and on Him, that in all things we hear Him and that what He says, and also are ready to do it. We are grateful to the Lord for every meeting, for every word which we may hear, which we believe, which we can receive in such a way as He has left it to us. We understood very well what it caused or by what it happened, that at the beginning the fellowship with God was disrupted, namely then when the enemy succeeded to take the word, to twist it a bit and then to give it back, and already it happened. Perhaps it is because of this reason that Brother Branham, not perhaps, but most certainly, that Brother Branham always emphasized the slightest change is a deviation from the original, and it's no more the word of truth, but human interpretations, and has no hope to persist. Now, we will just read some scriptures. We have heard enough in these days. The sermons are all available for us. And so, you can all read. You can deepen yourself in it and let the Spirit of God speak to you. This is actually the most real thing which exists on earth, that all read the sermons without any outside influence, deepen themselves in them, and let the Spirit of God guide them into all truth. Nobody needs to come there and interpret and to say what it shall be or what it means, but It means what it says, and it was said what is meant. Something stood out to me when Brother Pesal read this word. There I had to think, and this is again not to criticize, it's a painful diagnosis. And I hope that you and all whoever will hear it, that you are able to distinguish this. A criticism is a thing which somebody perhaps makes as a hobby and feels comfortable doing it. But a diagnosis of things which are not right before God, this is such a painful thing, and nobody does it without that he himself feels deeply sorrowful about it. But here at this place, just recently, I played this tape of the conference in Stockholm. You most surely have heard it, Brother Malmström. When the brethren from the North American continent were there and made certain claims that the time of grace is over, 1963, that the mercy seat has become judgment seat, that the Lord has come and is now on earth and so forth. Some things were said there. And these are brothers who are not unknown to us. And therefore, this great pain. But the following stood out to me, and the scripture which belongs to it. Here, in 1 John, in chapter 4, we read this precious scripture. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now comes the scripture which stood out to me. 2 John chapter 1, verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. This is a very, very important matter. For there it was loudly said and emphasized that Christ has returned now spiritually as the Word, and that he is now amongst us. Here, the Holy Scripture says, therein we recognize the deceiver, the spirit of the Antichrist, who confess not that Jesus Christ cometh in the flesh. Sometimes we might have thought, oh, this is the great matter on the seven hills. But there it doesn't stop. It penetrates right into the last churches and denominations. Yes, into the last spiritual movement. The truth is indivisible. The truth must remain as God has left it to us. We, as people, would be tolerant and say, all right, this is their opinion. Here it is not about your and my or somebody's opinion. Here it is about the spirit of truth and about the spirit of lie. Here it is about to be or not to be. Not that one closes one eye and on the other is already blind and tolerating everything, but just to take God's word to heart and by this being spoken to. Here it is being said with clear-cut words, which need no interpretation of what's all about. Everyone who confesses that Jesus Christ does not come in the flesh, but in some other way, or has come, such a person has not the Spirit of God, but an Antichrist spirit. Yes, that is the Holy Scripture. This is God's Word. Yes. And we noticed of what else was said, and this was really the climax. But just listen what is written here in verse 8. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. Perhaps someone may think the doctrine is not so important, and that's right. A brother, and this I say probably because our two Italian brothers will get baptized. A brother asked last week in Palermo the question, what is more important, the salvation of the soul or the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And one just has to answer that both is important on that place on which God has placed it. The salvation of the soul is of course the most important. Just as important is the biblical baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To once for all reject all traditions, all what cannot stand before God, to reject everything fully, one has to have the courage to experience the biblical faith of obedience personally and to put it into practice. Here we are told, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. And the Holy Scripture tells us, and this is the doctrine of Christ, the same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. This is God's word. And if somebody says he has come now spiritually and he has come as the word and so forth, it might leave an impression on them who do not know the word of God. We, by the grace of God, from the very beginning, we could discern between a revelation from the Lord and between his return. Even the scripture in Matthew 24, Luke 17, where it speaks of when the Son of Man is revealed, and only then comes the scripture, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming with power and great glory. The one is the revelation, and by it, our attention is drawn to that what we must know in connection with the return of the Lord. And the other is then the coming of the Son of Man, which is as the lightning which shines from the west unto the east. So, the clear discernment between the revelation of the Lord in the cloud as the Son of Man to give the signal to let us all know here not a man is coming on the scene, but a man sent from God, a man through whom I, the Lord, reveal myself. But then we can discern that man is not God and God is not man. But the man whom God used is an earthly vessel. And God nevertheless remains spirit and is exalted far above all. Blessed is the man who is of a clear mind and who is spiritually not shattered. We live in a time in which really it has become difficult to still find the way. And here I share the word with our beloved brother, who said at the beginning that the word illuminates us the path. It is a light on our way. Also this word, which we just looked at, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, will return just as he went up to heaven. He can reveal himself in the cloud, in the pillar of fire. He can reveal himself in whatever way and when and to whom he wants. But his return is described in the Word of God. He will come with a loud voice of the archangel and with a trump of God, and the dead shall rise first. And then we, who we are alive and remain, we shall be changed, and together we will meet the Lord in the air. Another coming of the Lord for the bride church does not exist. There are only gracious visitations of God. And in every meeting, we have the right to believe that the Lord comes into our midst, that he is present, that he speaks, and that he works. But this is, of course, not his return. This is just the fulfillment of the promise which he has given, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. What a grace that God has given us this privilege to believe as the scripture says. And if it is being testified here, whosoever goes beyond that and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. Why not? Because he is outside of the Word of God. The emphasis is always on the Word of God. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, whosoever goes beyond the testimony of the Holy Scripture, beyond the testimony of the Word of God, he has not God. And him God has not. He can speak much about God, yes, perhaps more than those who remained in the Word and with that in God. But I think this had to be said, because it is written here, whosoever is of God heareth us. It's a presumption if the one would not have been sent from God. And I am of the conviction that not everybody could have said what John could say here, or a Paul, or a Peter, but they could say it because it was so. They have heard with their own ears the divine call for the ministry, from the mouth of the Lord. They were sent by him and proclaimed his word. And he himself said, "He who hears you heareth me, and whosoever receives him whom I send receives him who sent me." But this cannot everybody take for himself and say, "So, this word applies now for me." If the first does not apply to us, then the second can also not apply to us. This word, which we read many times, be it from John chapter 13 or chapter 20, these are very special places in which the Lord draws the attention to this fact. John 13, verse 20, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me." The condition is, if I send someone, this is the point, not when someone comes along and says, "I don't like to work, I want to steal your time." Ah, Brother Ruth says, nobody will say that. No, I'm not here for fun. Today it is about everything. And it is not about the fact that the good-naturedness of the believers is not exploited, but rather that the believers are not only good-natured, but believe as the scripture says, and that they can discern. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send." And here we think especially on that what Brother Branham was told. As John was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message to forerun the second coming of Christ. That makes sense to me. If a man was sent from God, and I receive him with all of the divine message, then I received the Lord who sent him, who commissioned him, who speaks to me through him. And that was enough for the Lord. And thus I can stand my ground before him. These words will most certainly touch our hearts. Don't forget this for the rest of your life. It stood out to me very new. It's no more about to say, "Huh, this is a dear brother. A dear brother abides in the love of God. And if he abides in the love of God, then he abides in the word of God, and thus in the truth, and with this under the chastisement and leading and inspiration of the Spirit of truth." Everything what is not truth is lie. It of course has to be decorated piously so that the people believe it. But thanks be to our God that he has helped us until now and will continue to help us. "Whosoever does not abide in the doctrine of Christ has not God." He can speak of rapture and changing and of all that. It will be of no use at all. Here, in James, just briefly, the hint. James chapter 1, verse 21. "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Also, this is very important, to receive God's word with meekness, but in perfect faith, without any doubt, to then have the salvation. It continues, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Also, this word we want to take to heart. Everybody will notice where the Spirit of God admonishes, where he lays his hand on, what must be done in your and in my life, so that God's well-pleasing can rest upon us. Here no one needs to tell the other one something. But the Spirit of God will let everybody know. Then, in chapter 2, verse 8, James 2, verse 8, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. The love of God does not know the respect of persons. We must never measure with two standards. Our love toward one another must be so as it was from God toward us, pure and holy, without calculation, but free and generous it has to flow. For it says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. It is one and the same God from whose mouth every word has come forth, and we may submit under every word and ask him to give us the strength to do everything the way as he wants to have it. In chapter 3, verse 10, it says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. We have said often enough, there are two seeds, there are two fountains, there are just two different things on this earth, or even in the church of the living God. For thus Brother Branham lined it out, that from every revival come forth twins. Some beat on their chest, recognize that they failed and that they need the grace of God, but they seek and find their way to the cross and to the crucified one, and they find grace in the sight of God. According to the scripture, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. They cannot do otherwise but to reveal that what is in them. And there can never be two things in a person. Either we are the one or we are the other. From the same fountain cannot come forth sweet and bitter. Where does all the bitterness come from? All the hatred, all the envy, all the jealousy, and everything what can be registered all over the earth. From the divine fountain can only come forth new divine life, and by it the mind of Christ and his nature is manifested. If this cannot come forth, then still the old fountain bubbles. And if one puts into a bitter fountain a few kilograms of sugar and thinks now all will notice that the thing was sweetened, make no mistake, one will notice it, at least shortly after it, that the temporal sweetening had no consistence. God wants to make people out of us who speak one language, who have one nature, namely the nature of Jesus Christ, who have one face and not two, people who draw from the divine fountain. And this fountain shall bubble by the grace of our God. So, not once cursing and once blessing, not once love and then hatred, but one thing, either that or this, one of both, but, and to this we are coming back now, and with it to the close. We have been a mixture. This we all recognized. But now, God has brought us until here. Not to leave us in this mixture, but to plant a new, pure, holy, divine seed into us, so that we come forth after the divine kind, becoming sons and daughters of God, after the image of Jesus Christ our Lord. Then nobody needs to give us private lessons anymore, but then we are that what we are. And as Paul could say it, by grace I am what I am. And what are we by his grace? By grace we are saved. And this not from us, but by the bath of the new birth and by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. We are not only here to, from time to time, after the sprinkling, as it is being done, just to be sprinkled a bit, but to be immersed and baptized to come forth as a new man. We read on here in James, in chapter 5, in verse 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Just imagine, not only a speaking against one another or about one another, already a grudging against one another does not pass God by. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Just imagine how close this sieve of God is, this filter of God, about which Brother Branham preached a whole sermon. the filter of God. Maybe we had our filter, and behold, everything slipped through it so nicely. But now, God wants to apply the filter of His Word, and there nothing passes through at all. And we are well advised if we take all these words seriously. We are well advised if we let ourselves be led by the Spirit of God into all truth, and not think by ourselves, "Huh, I'm right with God. My goodness, I have experienced this and that. When I look back, oh, I can show you many things." Yes, perhaps this is even right. But this will not be sufficient. The Lord wants to have people with Him who have been transformed into His image. Sons and daughters of God, seed of God after His kind. And right in Isaiah 53, where it speaks of our Lord and His suffering, of His dying, and of our redemption and forgiveness, there the nice verse is written. Perhaps I shall read it, that He will see His seed and shall prolong His days, when He shall make His soul an offering for sin. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He has put Him to grief. When Thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed. He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. Then He is a new creation, and Christ is the beginning of this new divine creation. And we must be born by the word of the divine promise and by the Spirit of God. And this I want to ask now. How was Christ begotten and born? What happened first? Did somebody come and preach a sermon from Moses or from Jeremiah or somewhere? No. The word of the divine promise was given, and when the word of the divine promise as the seed was laid into Mary, then the Holy Spirit came upon her, and it was said, "The Holy One born of thee is of the Holy Ghost." But this birth was preceded by the laying in of the divine seed of the word of promise. Is this right or not? That is how Christ, the Son of God, was born. Let me say here today with all clarity, the birth of the sons and daughters of God as the bride church in these last days had to be preceded by the laying in of the divine seed of the word of promise. Only then can the Holy Spirit take this word seed and fertilize it and bring it forth unto a new life. Everything else is a thing which people fool themselves, and at the end they will stand there disappointed. Everybody can put himself a pious mask on, and perhaps speaking and walking humbly, But by this, no one was saved yet. Divine seed was given before Christ, who of course is himself the seed in whom the Word became flesh, could come forth. In the same way, it is happening now. And I am grateful to God that a multitude comes out which leaves everything behind and is ready to receive in the pure soil of the heart which was plowed the word of the divine promise for this time. And then we can also say, like Mary, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaid. God has people on earth for whom the word of the divine promise is intended as the seed and thus as a prerequisite for the spiritual birth. And all who are ordained for it, they will receive the word promised by God for this time, which was revealed and preached. For the rest, God will take care of. Mary believed, and already the announcement came, the power of the Most High will overshadow thee. And thus we believe it, for all who are transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Earthly men are not born into this world because there are thunders and lightnings, and because it rains mightily and floods come, or the winds blow, or the sun shines hot. Earthly men are still born into this world in the manner determined by God. The same applies for the spiritual birth. Not the speaking about thunders and lightnings and seals and this and that, but because God's holy word, which is determined for his people for this time, was laid into my and your heart and is received by faith, because God watches over his word to confirm his word and to bring it to pass. Thanks, praise and glory be to our God. Now we don't need any great evangelist anymore. No successor of William Branham. No 8th, 9th or 10th messenger. But just one. God's holy, revealed, promised word for this time. Receiving it by faith. For the rest, God will take care. And you all know how it is in the natural. One isn't worried anymore. One knows precisely that new life will come forth. And at the latest, you can ask the mother and she will confirm it to you. Although you cannot see much outwardly, she will suddenly say, I feel life in me. And I think the hour must come where the church of the living God, who is his body, this new divine life, she will feel it in her before it breaks through. Hallelujah! Blessed and praised be our God. He will bring it to pass. Praise be to him forever. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, as the most unworthy of your creatures, grace and salvation was given to me. This I can and will not deny. Further, you have given the commission to go from city to city to preach your word and to give out the spiritual food. I thank you for this sending and for all who receive the word of truth, letting it be planted in their soul as the divine seed. Lord my God, I am full of confidence that every seed brings forth after its own kind. Lord, we see it outwardly in the nature. We see it spiritually in all churches. In every church, people came forth after the same kind. In every denomination, the same came forth as in any country and nation. Lord, my God, we, as the miserable, as the rejected, as those who were thrown like dung on the street, that everyone can ignore at will, and yet valuable and precious in your sight. We may, although we live in shacks, we may receive your precious and holy word, your promises for this time in us, and we know that you will confirm them and you will bring it to pass. Faithful God, with all my heart I thank you for your presence. Lord, we don't see with our eyes and we don't hear with our ears, but we hear and see with our hearts and receive that what you have spoken to us. You will bring forth after the same divine kind. And faithful Lord, when it will be manifested, then we will be like you. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory, and worship be unto you. Keep us in your grace, in your word, under your blood, under the leading of your spirit, and be with all of us. Bless also them who are going to be baptized. Faithful Savior, may they recognize that the baptism is a covenant of a good conscience with God, that they died with Christ, being buried with him, rising with him unto a new life. Lord, may you, as the risen one, with your resurrection power, come upon all of us, penetrating all of us, so that we partake of this power. I thank you for all my brothers and for all my sisters in Europe and all over the world. Lord, the harvest is ripe. Faithful God, when you send your reapers from heaven, for thus it is written, the reapers are angels. But you will take care of that they will just be ministering spirits for the sake of those who shall inherit salvation. For thus it is written in Hebrews 1, you will still use men to call others so that they come to you. We thank you for everything. Our hearts are filled. Yes, they run over. Hallelujah. Praise and honor be unto you. Lord, I thank you and I worship you that you gave me the privilege to live in these days, to be healthy, to have heard your voice, to believe the message for this time and to carry it. Lord, when I count everything together, then you have done great and wonderful things in me, in hundreds, in thousands, all over the world. My God, arise and manifest thyself with all your power. Praise and worship be unto you, faithful God. Should there be still someone in our midst who has an inner fight and who is not able to help himself, may you help this person. Lord, you know each one. My God, no one can help himself. No one can bless or save himself, but you can both. You can save, you can heal, you can bless. And we ask you, do it today in those who come to you and who seek refuge in you. Lord, purify us, sanctify us, baptize us with spirit and fire. May your holy anointing come upon all of us as your people in these last days. Hallelujah. I praise you and I thank you and I worship you in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. You are Alpha and you are Omega, beginning and end. Thou shalt be the first, thou shalt be the last, throughout all eternity. Hallelujah. Thou shalt be the first, thou shalt be the last, throughout all eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. Right now we'll go over to baptism. Perhaps we should pray for our brothers and sisters here. Please let us stand up. I would like that the two brothers are coming to the front who would like to be baptized. Please come now to the front. Do you understand German? But the main thing is that they believe with all their heart. Because without faith, the baptism is useless. The scripture says, first comes faith and then comes water baptism. And we see Philip. He asked the eunuch, do you believe with all your heart? Then it can happen. And he said, I believe with all my heart. And they stepped down from the wagon, not a big ceremony, but just stepped down and he was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm asking you, before all witnesses, do you believe the entire message which God has given by his grace? Yes. all have heard it, and God also heard it. And so I think we want to pray now for you, or I ask that everyone thanks God for your redemption and for the message. We are coming once again, Lord. We ask you from the bottom of our hearts, may you be merciful to these brothers. May you accompany them on all their ways. You have called them. You have laid the faith into their heart. Lord, although they are young and weak, but they are committed unto you. And I ask you, Lord, may you now be with us when we go over to the water, to the grave in water. Give grace to them and to all of us. Lord, we thank you that you didn't stop yet your work, but you are still at work, Lord. And you are still calling today people. Praise, honor, and glory be unto you, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Amen.